Hey y'all, you're listening to another episode of Big Facts No Cap with Paul and Adrian, the only show that's number one with those who drop a big tip and those who wear sick fits.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big Facts
No
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Paul, I got a question for you.
It's not a gotcha, right?
Weather.
Oh, thank God.
Weather.
Actually, that's completely out of context. I don't even know what's up. I'm walking out if there's any more gotchas.
Oh, you're going to walk?
I'm going to do Rick Ross and pretend I'm going to the bathroom and then just go home.
In case the audience doesn't know, that's why Phil hasn't been on the podcast. He said he was going to walk if we brought up his allegations, and he left.
And he left.
Yeah. Couldn't handle the heat.
Couldn't handle the heat.
Speaking of, it's starting to get hot over here. I don't know what it's like in DC right now, if you guys are still in beautiful springtime.
Oh, it's perfect weather, brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's been going on?
Not much. Just hanging out. But I rode my bike to work for the first time on Monday. It was the first rainy day we had in a while, so that was fun. And that was the day that I met all three of my union presidents, which was fun. Finally got to meet Rafa, my old UAW 4811 president. I got to meet Sean Fain, and I got to meet my current president. So got to meet my three big dogs in the worst bar in Sacramento, Matty Groves. Shout out Matty Groves.
Why'd they pick the worst bar in Sacramento?
They are labor friendly, but it is a bad bar.
You got to give us reasons. Maybe what you consider bad in a bar, some people love, and they'll go there.
Yeah, maybe if you wanted. Okay, so I'll put it this way. I remember when we were scouting out new places to do trivia on Tuesday. I saw that Matty Groves had trivia on Tuesday, and so I was like, "Hey, Pierce, Matty Groves has trivia on Tuesday," and he was like, "Cool, we can drink bad beer out of a stupid glass on a stupid long table in a way too loud room with a bunch of nerds." And I was like, "Yeah, fair nice. Point."
So, you don't like communal seating? You don't like long tables where you might have to like be next to another group
where
of people?
Where it's hard to get in and out, and it's, yeah, it's weird for a bar
it's to hard
feel
to get in and out.
Okay.
I mean, that might be a you problem. I don't know if that's long tables' fault that you can't push
that
back.
Is long tables' fault, yeah. Yeah, because you're all squished in there. It's weird for a bar to feel cavernous and cramped at the same time, and I don't know. I it's hard to hear anything. We have DSA socials there where people are playing music, so then it's just impossible to do anything. It's the worst bar. They are big on tinned fish, though. You'd love it. They have a solid tinned fish menu.
I've actually stopped buying my favorite tinned fish because the prices went up, and it got to just the point where it was like, well, I can't justify $7 a tin, so no more.
Is that because of oil? Because of the transportation, or what do you think?
I like the idea that you think the oil they pack the fish in is the crude oil from the Strait of Hormuz.
Definitely not the oil that they use to ship it. It's the oil that they put in there. They gotta infuse that oil with some garlic and chili. That's cost money. Oh, that, and they're very dog friendly too. That's my last point about the bar.
Oh, yeah.
They're one of those, the owner brings their dog to work, and so they're very encouraging about everyone bringing their stupid dogs in there.
Not many places let dogs in DC, or not as many, at least, whereas it was like almost expected in Charlotte.
Yeah, that's still a thing here too. I've talked about that a long time ago. It doesn't actually cause me that much strife anymore, so I don't know. I don't think I care about it that much, but yeah.
I don't know. Dogs take up more space than a human, and it feels like the only reason you brought them is because you either wanted attention or they're such a shitty dog that you couldn't leave them at home without them tearing up all your stuff.
I was going to say the latter one seems more common, which is also problematic, but I like the idea that you're dissecting the psyche of these people.
Well,
they're
if the
sick
dog's
fucks who want attention.
If the dog's shitty, then it's also like, well, now they're being
it
shitty in public
you,
and it's everybody else's problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn. Okay. Spicy takes coming out.
And if the dog's well-behaved, it's like, why aren't they at home? It feels like you could have left them at home.
Yeah. Who's watching your house? I thought they were there for security.
This might be one we get a lot of pushback on.
I had a couple things for Media Roundup, if you want to talk about that for a hot sec.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll do Planet Frogs by Action Bronson. That was a fun listen. I was listening to that a lot of Friday and Saturday.
Nice. Any good features?
Mayhem Loren, who's like on every Action Bronson project, was a good feature. Liliati was unexpected, but it worked.
He's like, I took the frog to Planet Frog.
Yeah, that's what he said. How'd you, you listen?
I listen. Nice. I watched a very weird movie at the Dreamland all about Lily Chow Chow. Kind of a Japanese movie, not a kind of a Japanese movie, a Japanese movie kind of about people meeting each other online during the early internet days and not knowing who their real personas are. But I was talking to Julia about it and I was like, yeah, it's a disturbing movie. That's never been an issue for me. But at a certain point, you're sitting there and you're like, this isn't based on a true story. You could have made this happier at any point. You wrote all this. You could have made this happier at any point.
That's true. That's true.
And then the only other thing is I've been listening to a lot of Origami Angel, Midwest emo band. I'm listening to their albums in reverse chronological order. So I listened to Somewhere City and Gami Gang, and both are like pretty peak Midwest emo. They do that thing where, not in like the hip hop way, but in more of like sometimes artists will just add samples from media into their music. And I think Gami Gang ends with a sample of like an NBA announcer really excitedly being like, and if you don't like that, you just don't like NBA basketball. And that kind of sums up the album. It's like, if you didn't like that album, Gami Gang, you just don't like Midwest emo. Then that was a premier example of what that genre could be. So highly recommend.
I wrote down in my notes a couple weeks ago for things to talk about on this podcast. She, they's are the men of gender nonconformity. Is that anything?
That's pretty good. I do like that. Is that in your Twitter drafts or where is that?
That was in my things to mention to Adrian on the podcast notes.
Oh, that should be in your Twitter drafts. That should be put out. I'm going to go ahead and let's do it this way. Paul, what's your Subway take? And what's your take?
She, they's are the men of gender nonconformity.
100% agree.
Knocked it out of the park, which you think would be hard for a take about gender from a white cis man.
Yeah. There you go. Oh,
everybody clapped. All the trans people, black women, everybody stood up and started clapping for me when I said that.
I don't know. I'm quite sure that you didn't, but SNL this week was also pretty good. Matt Damon, funnier than I thought he'd be. The joke about it was
UK
that like
or
he's only
US, because you know you got to ask nowadays.
I know. The big joke about it was that he's like been an active actor for like 30 years and he's only been on 3 times. So it's like, I'll be in the 5-timers club by the time I'm 50. Everyone's like, oh, that's funny. But the actual skits were funny.
Cool. You want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it. What are we talking? Oh, we're talking about the big one, tipping.
Yeah, tipping. Obviously, it's one of those issues where there's like a pretty wide cultural consensus that you're an asshole if you don't tip.
But also everyone hates it.
The common line is like, I wish we didn't have to do it. It would be better if everybody was well paid, but you're an asshole if you don't do it.
Yeah, and then there's the Malcolm Gladwells who get into the data of like, well, actually, they'd make less money if they were not tipped or whatever, because the average person, I don't know. That, and there's always a lot of data about it, because it is very like behavioral economics to be like, well, you know, this study shows that there's no difference in the quality of service that affects your tip. Like, on average, people just tip whatever they're going to tip going into something.
Yeah, I mean, that rings true for me. I've never once in my life, other than maybe some extreme situations where somebody was so, like, pleasant and gave me, like, you know, went out of their way to, like, you know, gave me something for free. There's no situation where I've ever, like, actively been like, ooh, I'm going to up the tip or lower the tip because of
you
what
they did.
You
don't put 10 single dollar bills on the table and take one away every time they do something wrong?
I should buy those the Christian bills where it's like, here's tip, honey, believe in Jesus more or whatever, written on like a fake $100
bill.
Save
your soul.
Here's a tip. This is my church's address. You should come join.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if somebody's like excessively nice, it'll make a tip go higher than like 20%. But most of the time it's 20 and it's 15.
But what about the research that says like if like a bartender who's a woman wears her hair in pigtails to look younger, she gets more tips or whatever? Are you looking for that?
Yeah. Well, I want that research to be true, so I tip more.
Yeah. I was about to say, I assume you're going to be like, that rings true to me.
I feel like that's sexism, so I tip less to try to downplay that effect.
That's a good to be like, respect yourself, honey.
Has that ever been a part of the research? I mean, I feel like it'd be pretty easy to just find out, like, do Hooters waitresses and Twin Peaks waitresses, do they get more tips on average?
Oh, Yeah, that seems like an easy question to answer. I feel like the data would be really easy to collect on that.
Mm. I feel like bartenders almost certainly do. I think when drinks were less than $5, they were probably making more than 20% tips, because most people instinctively like leave a dollar per drink. But once they cross that barrier, they might actually be getting worse tips, because I might dip $1 on every $7 drink, and that's actually less than 20%.
But it's not the percentages that matter to them. It's how many drinks they move. Whether a beer is $7 or $5, it doesn't matter. Unless it's representative of the fact that costs are higher, and then they're having the same tips for higher costs, and they're making less money in that way. But
that's the thing. When you open a tab, then you're going to leave with like a $37 bill, and then I'm not thinking about per drink. I'm just leaving the 20% tip on that whole bill.
If I only get drinks, I stick to $1 per drink.
Even once you get back like a tab bill, you're not doing 20%. You're thinking back to how many drinks did I order and doing $1 per drink.
Yeah, I'll be like, I had two beers, so I'm going to tip $2.
You see, if I've opened a tab, I then think about it on the 20% rule, not on the dollar per drink thing.
Oh, interesting. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Have you ever gotten into the, and I'll go ahead and say, my experience has really fallen in line with what I think the common take on this is, which is like, everyone's always like, oh yeah, my uncle's the guy I know who makes the most amount of money, and he's the worst tipper. A lot of the people who I know who are bad tippers are people who are better off. And a lot of the people who I know who are like, oh, why are you tipping 20% on the final bill? You're supposed to do it pre-tax or whatever. And it's like, who taught you that rule? when is that supposed to be a thing? That's so much harder than just using the final number. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that does seem like extra mental effort. I don't know if I really care either way.
Well, it seems like more mental effort to give people less money.
I also always round up, but now we're just getting into virtue signaling where I'm just trying to, you know what I mean?
Oh, I'm by no means the best tipper. Sometimes I do the 15% button if it's on there. Sometimes I'll do the 18%.
That's what I was going to say. For things that feel like, you remember how like, I don't know, until like 2018, the rule for tipping was like only if they bring you something to your table, and like the idea of tipping like at a... Or something was kind of like an uncommon, unheard of thing, because it's like, oh, I'm not getting it served to me at a table. I'm picking it up at the counter. Tipping was less common for that sort of situation.
I worked at Tokyo Grill at 2013, and it was like kind of always a surprise that anybody left a tip on their ticket.
Exactly. Like that sort of place. But now it's almost expected at those places.
Yeah. Now we're getting into a lot of the rants and things that people do bits about of like, well, they turn around the screen and the lowest option is 50%. What's going on? Or the arguments about people not doing enough to earn a tip, or what's the other one? The weirdest services are now asking for a tip on top of stuff, and it's like, you're a contractor. Why would I give you a tip or whatever? I don't know. It seems like it's getting out of hand, but I think it's one of those things where it's reflective of a deeper situation than what people are often doing on these like surface level bits about like, I went to the doctor and then he turned around an iPad. Come on now. What's going on?
Since we've done a little bit of virtue signaling about making sure we always leave tips, I'll do the opposite, which is the situation I always forget to leave a tip, because every time I'm leaving a hotel room, I'm like, I don't have cash on me. I'm not going to go find an ATM. I'm not going to spend the morning I'm packing up to
leave
this
hotel.
You don't leave
your Venmo?
Yeah, you do that?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, whatever you think, just hit me with a request.
You put a QR code down?
Yeah. Laminated.
Okay. Yeah, no. I'm not on that yet. I don't have little business cards with my Venmo QR code on it for them to request money from me. The morning you're packing up and leaving a hotel, I'm never like, oh, what I need to add to my morning is running to an ATM because I don't have cash on me.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get with the times. You got to leave like a way to tip electronically.
Yeah, I don't know. It's always felt... I feel like that's like a... I don't think I've been to a hotel as an adult recently to think about whether or not I've handled that situation the right way. Yeah, either that or like in your charge or whatever, you have the option to add it or something like that. Would be like when the hotel closes you out. They're like, but then you never trust that.
You get nervous that the owner is keeping it because it's nobody ever
that
gets.
That was Two Gingers, the Indian restaurant that we had in town that we both liked. I remember my mom found out from the other Latinos that worked in the kitchen that all the tips went to the owner.
Yeah, I mean, I think that happens a lot with electronic tips.
So then you have the people who are like, I always carry cash so I can directly give it to somebody or whatever, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. In terms of virtue signaling, like, I tip at Publix. I'll go ahead and say that.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, they're always like, no, mister, no, I can't take tips, mister. No, I'm like, hey, come on, take this money. You need it.
You need it. Oh, I forgot you're kind of like using it to condescend to them.
Yeah. Hey, 15-year-old boy who lives in a middle-class and suburb neighborhood with your parents, you need it.
Now, Adrian, is this something you're saying just because you don't live in the South anymore, so going to Publix, is it something you do at all?
Oh, if I could, I would.
This is like Schrodinger's tip. It's like, if I did live in the South, I would be leaving generous tips in Publix.
Every time I get my pub sub, are you kidding me?
Why is that a rule? Like, what an asinine thing of the company to be like, oh, the bag boys can't accept the tip. And
I don't
they
know.
Have to offer to carry your groceries to your car.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm because of that and because of Adam working at Publix, I remember asking the store owner at Trader Joe's what our situation was. And he was like, yeah, take it if you want. I don't care.
Rob those motherfuckers for all I care.
Yeah, pocket check them. The other thing about tipping, well, I have a lot of things to say about tipping, actually. This is a pretty fruitful conversation. But when you got your hair cut as a kid, did your mom tip the person who cut your hair?
Oh, I cannot remember. Why would really? I have paid attention to that? I was not sitting at the counter listening to my mom check out. I was walking around.
Oh, I always distinctly remember when I went to go get my hair cut, my mom would give me the tip to me so that I could give it to the lady. That way it was cuter.
And it was a tiny tip. She was like, they're going to feel way less bad about this when it comes from you because they're going to be like, oh, it's his,
ooh, yeah.
That's his allowance. He got that for getting all A's. I can't get angry. I've only got a $2 tip.
There was a while after I got my settlement after getting hit from the bike where it was my senior year of undergrad. I was going to a few bars as like a pretty regular. And so I would just leave like 100% tips.
Well, that was
the
painkiller if you were on numbing your judgment.
No. Settlement came like a year later. It was a famously arduous process. But yeah, there was a while.
Like,
where I
feel good,
out.
Baby. You should feel good. What, $50 for this one beer? Is that about right?
That's not too far off. And then the biggest tip I ever received was when there was like this woman who was clearly coming off of work, came to Tokyo Grill. She was like, hey, can I get the chicken teriyaki meal? Can you like really load it up with chicken? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I went over to Phil and I was like, hey, this person just wants you to really load it up with the chicken. And she was like, did you actually ask? And I was like, yeah. And then she gave me a $10 bill. And I was like, cool. I think that was the biggest tip I ever received on like a single thing.
And you didn't split it with Phil? He had to do all the hard labor of loading the extra chicken
into
the styrofoam without it breaking.
I think I got to keep that one because it was a cash tip.
Is this how Phil's going to learn that you fucked him?
Oh, yeah, probably. I'm going to get a text from him. All right, cool. You want to get into a column?
Let's do it.
All right. You want to go first? You didn't send me anything. Do you want me to go first?
Miss Manners, I hate being expected to tip, so I don't. Why is tipping expected? I was under the impression that it was up to the customer. In my state, servers are paid minimum wage, so it's not a question of being underpaid. And why am I expected to supplement a stranger's income? If you're not making enough money, get a different job. I'm so disgusted by this begging that I don't tip anymore anywhere. Is tipping really a requirement? So, do you think this is a fake question by a supervillain, or what's going on here?
This actually makes me think of a couple of things. One, if they're making minimum wage, that doesn't mean they're paid fairly.
$7.25 isn't enough to live on?
In South Carolina? That's Folly Beach money right there, baby.
This must be a fake question, right? People know how people feel about bad tippers, and this is like rage bait, right? This is like I'm being the villain because it gets engagement for Miss Manners' column.
Oh, you think
Miss Manners wrote
this
in herself, is what I'm saying.
Oh. Yeah, you seem to think that there's a lot of virtue signaling around tipping. So do you think that's what it is? She wants to virtue signal?
There is a lot of virtue signaling around tipping, but I think that this isn't a case of virtue signaling. I think this is a case of clickbait, where people love to hate a villain. And this is like something people might comment on, like, can you believe this bleep bleep? You know, I don't know why I did bleeps there, but
I'm
you can imagine
bleep, bleep.
The sort of nasty words people would say about this new
Paul's
tipper.
A nasty woman. I think there are probably people who actually think this way. Especially if they're in a state where people have to make minimum wage no matter what.
In a lot of states, the argument is, or the law is, that they can actually pay below minimum wage for wait staff.
Yeah, it's like $2.20. Tips. Yeah.
I don't know how many states they have to be paid minimum wage in.
I think in South Carolina, it was basically like the amount you make covers basically the amount of taxes you have to pay out of your income or something like that. And then the rest is literally just your tipping is your salary.
I think the funny thing about this is not to give this woman any more weapons for her anti-tipping philosophy, but almost certainly the waitstaff is making more than minimum wage. Nobody actually makes minimum wage anymore. That's unlivable in this country. These people are certainly making a higher
That's what they were
salary.
Saying about how they need to get another job. Oh, we didn't even talk about like Uber and DoorDash and stuff like that. I've seen so many Reddit posts about people being like, I didn't pre-tip on DoorDash, so my DoorDasher did something fucked up to my food or whatever, something like that. But anyways, we're talking about, what is it? Just restaurant staff? Is that what he was talking about?
Is tipping really a requirement? Yes. I'll answer that final question.
If you're not making enough money, get a different job.
I'm so disgusted by this begging, and I don't tip anymore anywhere. I'm disgusted by this begging. Yeah, I mean, come on. This person is clearly being set up to be a villain here. This isn't a real person.
Yeah. But do you want to play devil's advocate?
Okay. So we're on this person's side. When you talk to servers, there is a big contingent of non-tippers in this country, right? Like, every server it will be like, oh, yeah, you get tons of people who just don't leave tips. So we're
We're going again into the data where the problematic nature with certain servers are like, that's why I hate getting tables of black people, or hate getting tables of Indian people, because they're, like, notoriously bad tippers, and it's like, yoy, yikes.
But, so there's obviously a big contingent of people in this country who aren't tipping, but everybody talks about how you, like, very few people are willing to be the villain and that are asking this question, right? So there's definitely a large silent majority that know it's wrong to not tip, but would never say
the
so.
Silent majority.
Silent majority. I don't know. I guess it's been a while since I've had server friends, but it's like, you know, you get the sense that like one out of like five tables or one out of 10 tables will be like a zero tip type family.
I don't think it ever seemed that prevalent to me, but maybe like I don't know. That's one of those things where like when you talk about the popularity of certain shows and you're like, I don't know anyone in my life who watches that show. It's a crazy paradox to be like, I bet a lot of people don't tip, but also I can't name anyone in my life who doesn't.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, right? Like, it feels like the amount of people who complain about not getting tips, there's definitely, yeah, like a mismatch in that percentage. I wonder if I can quickly Google like a study on like how many Americans just leave zero tip everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
2 to 9% of Americans report leaving no tip at all at sit-down restaurants, with roughly 1 in 5 tipping less than 15%.
That's a big range.
So I am saying that this person's kind of a straw man, but maybe they're not. Maybe it's just like we never hear anybody make this argument, but it's just, yeah, the silent group of people who know what they're doing is wrong. It's just like, well, I'm not going to change.
Yeah, it's that opening scene from Reservoir Dogs, right? Where Steve Buscemi's talking about tipping or whatever. I think the flaw in that monologue that he does is that obviously the way you change the tipping system isn't by individual action of not tipping. It's clearly like a legislative problem.
Hey, you have to change yourself to change the world, Adrian.
That's true. That's what Gandhi said.
All right. You want to hear the answer?
Let's go.
You are mighty cavalier about the livability of the minimum wage and the ease of getting a better paying job. You absolutely must tip those workers whose jobs traditionally require it. Miss Manners often rails against the whole idea. Why should a worker's wages depend on the whims of customers? Yet, because that is the current system, she considers some tipping mandatory. And this time of year, tips or bonuses for household customers are customary. Those are considered to be a show of personal appreciation, but they are also given because, unfortunately, the regular wages are often low. The notion that tipping is a reward for good service is insulting to the worker, with its implication that good service is not to be expected without an extra bribe. More importantly, it's unreliable, as it justifies the patron in withholding payment if not reasonably or unreasonably satisfied. Those tips are simply part of the cost of the meal. Bad service should be reported to management. No, it shouldn't, Miss Manners. But apparently, tipping is now expected at all times from everyone. You should probably plan to leave tips for your pallbearers. No, you do not have to tip everyone who expects it. Miss Manners agrees with you in theory, but not in practice.
Ain't that the way?
All right, Miss Manners said, call their manager up.
What's next? I'm going to have to tip the guy at the pearly gates to let me in?
St. Peter's going to turn around that iPad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really like that answer. I mean, she started off with the right point about how minimum wage isn't livable and how finding a better paying job is a ridiculous thing to say. But yeah, I mean, the whole agreeing within principle but not practice basically sums up like 90% of the tipping conversation. All right, do you want to get into my column?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so for my column, I'm bringing in Pay Dirt from Slate. We're going to be pretty similar in the themes, because this is, my boyfriend strongly believes tipping is optional. He thinks it's wasting money. Here we go. Dear Paydirt, my boyfriend, Z, and I have been together for about 4 years and are planning to get engaged and start a family soon. He makes me incredibly happy and we share many similar values, but we differ on one thing, tipping. Z grew up in a country where tipping is not expected and can be insulting. When Z moved here, he worked several low-paying service jobs and was rarely tipped in any of them. As such, he sees tipping as optional and rarely gives more than 5%, even at nice sit-down restaurants where one would generally expect to give 15 to 20%. I have tried to explain the tipping culture in the States many times, and to make me happy, he will tip 15% if I ask, but I can tell he thinks it's wasting money and doesn't tip when we're not together. We both make good money, and I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of denying someone a tip they may have been relying on when we can afford to tip generously. Is there another way to approach this conversation with him? From Big Spender.
I will say, the fact that he's willing to do the 15% when you're with him is a pretty good first step. He's not so obstinate. He's not being a complete, I don't know, weird jackass about it.
It's a waste of money.
So it is a waste of money, objectively.
But he's doing it for his gal.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the experience he had of rarely being tipped during his jobs, low-paying service jobs and was rarely tipped in any of them. What does that mean? Was he like a busboy in a restaurant where they don't pull tips? Or like, how does that happen?
Oh, I was imagining that he was just in a job where it's hard to get tipped, like a cleaning staff or something like that, where it is technically service, but you're not like customer facing in that sort of way.
Oh,
like
okay.
Maybe if you work the front desk at a hotel, like that's a service job where you're customer facing, but you're never going to get a tip.
You think he was doing back-end development for a software?
What's the joke here? Did she say it was back-breaking labor? Why back-end? I don't know. I don't get it.
Because it's not the front end, because the front end would be the front facing.
Oh, okay. Front facing, back end. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. How does she get him? I mean, it's hard to control somebody on something where you have no idea what they're doing, and it's when you're not around.
I don't think he's ever going to do it on his own.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, because he should change, but it's like, what? How are you? I don't know. This is tough to get control over somebody. Like,
you're saying that he should assimilate into the culture as an immigrant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Interesting. Okay, that's your main thesis. The thing that I was saying about the behavioral psychology of all this is like, how does this impact you? Are you guys both going to restaurants separately and together to the point where they're going to think that if you go in with him, you're not tipping well, so they're spitting in your food? Like other than like you thinking that you need to change him so that he's like fitting in culturally, how does this manifest for you?
Feel like a certain... It's like a very Reddit-y thing to be like, this is how you know if somebody's a good person, is how they treat people below them. It just, like, I think it gets in people's minds. Like, I'm the type of person who tips, and not doing so puts you in a different class of people.
I think if you guys are going to get married, you guys should get a joint bank account. You should find out where he's spending money, and you should go back every time and leave a tip for the person.
Ooh.
Using his side of the bank account, or however that works, however a joint bank account works.
Put your Venmo QR code on his head so the servers can Venmo request you. Just say, for tip.
It is interesting that the framing of the argument is it would make me happy if you tipped this person who needs it, not these people need it and we have the ability to give it to them.
I think this is not a big problem in how it actually manifests. It's a big problem in the, like, if he's obstinate about this, what other weird quirks is he going to be obstinate about? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be in a relationship with somebody who's...
Only take him to bars where if you leave your tab open, they automatically add an 18% gratuity, which we've talked about on the pod before. But take him to only those places where they do the weird aggressive thing of being like, we're going to make you tip 18%. It's like, okay, that's a perfectly reasonable amount to tip.
But if she's with him, he's already tipping. So that's a flaw in your plan.
You open a tab that he doesn't know is open. You tell him that you closed it without tipping.
Once again, I feel like you're not getting that if she's there, he's tipping. What other things do you think he refuses to integrate from American culture? Do you think this is the same guy from last week who refuses to turn on the air conditioning?
Oh, the same French guy?
Yeah.
Probably. Every time he goes to pick up his stinky cheese, he doesn't tip.
I'm going MAGA, man. Foreigners are annoying. Not tipping and refusing to turn on air conditioning. We have values in this country.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I think you're right. I think it has to be like a I guess, a red flag type situation, because I don't know. I was trying to think of that convoluted situation where you guys are both regular somewhere and sometimes go together and sometimes go separately and it comes to bite you in the ass. Otherwise, yeah, this is just like a, you have a preference on the way he should behave and he doesn't seem to want to behave that way.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe like pre-internet or like early internet days, there were people who came from like random countries and then just said that that was one of the places you don't tip? Do you think there are any people who tried that?
Oh, yeah, in Canada, you don't tip. I've been there. You definitely tip in Canada.
That's not far enough for us not to know what's going on there. Is it a big thing in DC yet? Are you getting those places that are trying to take out tipping and just add a service charge to everything or whatever?
Yeah, there's a good bit of places like that, which I like. I mean, that's always nice when it's just like, hey, but they have to tell you, because if they don't tell you, you might get
Yeah, I've had that happen to me before, where I went to a restaurant when they changed their policy and I was like, God damn, they got way more expensive. And then I realized afterwards that I tipped on top of an automatic tip.
Yeah.
And then there's also the places in town that are tip free. There's a brewery attached to a rock climbing place, and then there's a coffee shop where I've heard weird things about the coffee shop where like, they don't allow tips, but also the owner still doesn't pay them well, so it's not supposed to be a good place to go to, but people like it online because it has the no tipping thing. So. I don't know. I don't know enough about the mechanics of these places.
I'm curious if how much of a red flag the question answer is going to take it as.
So this is from Lillian Carabake. Dear Big Spender, American tipping culture is due for a complete overhaul. Tipping justifies businesses underpaying workers, it makes servers more vulnerable to sexual harassment, and is discriminatory. Which service positions receive good tips is arbitrary. I made a pittance in tips as a barista, and $10 per hour as part of the tip pool as a dishwasher.
I like that I can already sense the thing coming that we've talked about with the previous article and at the start, which is everybody's opinion is we should get rid of it, but you have to leave it.
Every culture handles tipping differently, but it might work to frame tipping not as a cultural practice in the US, but as part of our economic system, like taxes. Because of our special American tipped minimum wage, it is an expected part of the cost of service. I might be miffed to pay 25% VAT when I eat at a restaurant in Copenhagen, but I don't get to skip out on it just because I'm an American. Until we reform the tipped minimum wage, tipping is just part of living in this country and will help him save face, quote unquote. It might help to appeal to his experiences as a low-wage worker without good tips. No tipping at a sit-down restaurant is akin to paying the restaurant owner, but none of the workers. Ask your boyfriend to experiment with tipping generously for a short period, just to see how it feels. Rather than wasting money, tipping feels good to me. It is giving money directly to hard-working individuals. Certainly feels like less of a waste than providing a tacked-on service fee to a huge corporation.
I don't know if I like that either. I don't like this, like, oh, honey, you better appreciate this one. I'm paying for your apartment, basically.
I don't know. I actually found that somewhat of an effective framing to be like, it's not a cultural thing. It's just an economic thing. Like, you, it is.
No, I like that part. Because, but the part where you're like, oh, I'm being so generous to this person is also a little bit like, okay, calm down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's at least giving some tactics that we didn't come up with for like trying to get him to change his opinion on it. I don't know.
I think there. Also maybe just straight up explaining to him how much shame there is around in America. It's like, hey, buddy, look, the people who don't tip in America never talk about not tipping because everybody thinks it's one of the grossest looks possible.
That ain't it.
Feel free to not tip, but I think it feels gross to even know that my boyfriend's not tipping, and other people upon learning that about you are gonna see you differently. It's just considered trashy.
I don't know how you do things in that dog and pony show they call Benin, but...
Oh, Benin is the no-tipping culture.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I don't think they should tip in any Western country till they get the bronzes back. Me bringing up the one other thing I know about Benin.
Oh, yeah. I guess she also brought up the thing about how it's discriminatory and, like, leads to sexual harassment and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know if that's just getting him woke on not wanting tipping culture in general. I don't know if any of that really helps the answer.
Yeah, wouldn't that give him ammo for not tipping?
Yeah, I mean, I can't sexually harass anyone. I'm not giving them anyone. All right, cool. I don't know. I don't think she's going to fix that guy.
All right, Adrian, for the third segment, I'm bringing in a quiz for you, where we're reading some anonymous entries online about generous tips. These are sourced from BuzzFeed, and they're user-submitted. And what I'm going to do is censor the name of the celebrity, give you a hint about what celebrity it is, their tipping story, and give you a chance to guess who it is. There's about 28 of these celebrities. A lot of them, I'm going to give you one chance for 2 points and a second chance for just 1 point. Some of them, you'll only get one chance. And I'm going to say 35 points will be a winning score and 40 points will be a great score. 35 will be a pass. 40 will be an A. Do you mind keeping track of your points?
Yep.
Okay, number one, for 2 points. This Disney star is not only kind, but also low maintenance, and she tips very well. She came into my restaurant in Nashville with a very large party and ordered veggie fajitas. Nothing changed or modified. Got everything just as it came, asked for a box for her leftovers, tipped 200%, and was a sweetheart.
That sounds like Selena Gomez to me.
Okay, you did not get 2 points on that one. For 1 point, fuck. This Disney star who looks suspiciously...
I forgot Selena Gomez is a fucking foodie. She wouldn't get vegetarian fajitas.
This Disney star who looks suspiciously like Hannah Montana.
Miley Cyrus.
Yep, 1 point. A lot of them I do kind of give me's on the 1 point.
Okay, and there's 28 of them, so that's like 28 guaranteed points.
This comedic leading man is one of my favorites.
Oh, I should have gotten it from Nashville, right? She like lives in Nashville or probably spent a lot of time in Nashville. Okay, I'm going to start thinking harder about these.
Yeah. This comedic leading man is one of my favorites. He'd come into a bar I worked at, order the cheapest light beer, and tip $100 every time. He's down to earth and likes to be treated like a normal person, but you can hear his laugh from anywhere else in the building.
Oh, that's got to be Jimmy Carr. Okay, you can hear his laugh from down to earth, drinks light beer. I want to say Jim Carrey, but I know he got weird later, but maybe that's an early Jim Carrey.
It is not Jim Carrey. For 1 point, this scruffy comedic leading man and ashtray designer.
Oh, it's Seth Rogen.
Yeah, okay, you've seen the same articles I have.
Okay, all right. That kind of makes sense. I kind of see him as a porter drinker, but I guess, yeah, cheap light beer, probably like a Labatt.
All right, this one, you're actually not going to get any insert for their name. It's just going to be blank and...
Should we add a meter on your perception of whether or not you thought these were good tippers or not? Miley Cyrus surprises me.
Yeah, that's true. There's only a handful of stories that are very negative about the celebrity. I think there's like 3 of those in this list. Okay, so for this next one, you're not going to get anything. I think the story has enough clues about who they are for you to hone in on it. I think it'll be like one or two people, so 50-50 shot.
One of the Lucas brothers?
Yeah, exactly. Back in the early 2000s, I was just a teen working at a steakhouse. I had been informed that the entire section of the back party room was reserved for the entire WWE crew because an event was happening that night. I didn't really follow WWE, so it wasn't a big deal to me. Turned out only one wrestler showed up. Was I assume his manager or agent? I had no idea who it was, but kids started lining up at the door asking if they could get an autograph. No, it was not. The wrestler was blank. So you don't get 2 points on this one. I'll give you a further clue. The wrestler was a famous bald icon and fanny pack wearer. He saw the kids, smiled, and said, sure, let them come in. He was very polite, soft-spoken gentleman. I told him, sorry, I don't follow wrestling, but I'm sure you're awesome. He chuckled and said he's all right. At the end, he and the guest left a nice tip and even gave me an autograph to hold on to, saying it might be worth some money someday.
Did he, at any point during the meal, did he crush 2 Bud Lights onto his head? Is it Stone Cold Steve Austin?
No. Bald icon and fanny pack wearer. I'll give you one more guess for 1 point.
Oh, is it Hulk? No. Who wears a fanny pack?
Okay, you've got this wrong too many times. It is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Is he big on fanny packs?
You don't know the meme of him from his early days with the fanny pack?
No, I didn't know about that. Now, was it a sling bag or was it a fanny pack? What are we doing here? Because you're doing a sling bag, a cross bag.
It's a fanny pack. It's straight.
Okay, all right.
This next one, I'll say I kind of had to Google to find out like a good description of them. It's not an actor I personally think about a lot, but they are very famous. So,
do you think when The Rock goes to Korean barbecue, he says, "Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?"
Yeah, and it annoys his whole family every time.
And his manager and his agent. Also, good get on that autograph if that was before The Rock was famous.
Yeah, I think that should have been, if you'd listened to that part, that would have been a clue, not John Cena, right? He was famous by then. I served as Brat Pack alum, 80s heartthrob, and more recently a supporting man at 1/5th in NYC in the early 80s. He left a $100 tip on a tiny bill. He was funny, very nice, and respectful to me and the staff. Brat Pack alum, 80s heartthrob, and supporting leading man who left a $100 tip on a tiny bill.
At first, I thought you said Brat Pack, and I thought it was Charlie XCX's crew.
Yeah, Brat Pack.
Oh, Brat Pack?
Yeah. It's like the 90s group of actors who were kind of, well, I guess I'll give you a clue on who it's not. I think they were around like Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Who do I know that are like those guys? Is it McConaughey?
Oh, okay. No, I got it wrong. Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore, Emilio Estevez, this person, Ali Sheedy, Molly Ringwald.
Okay, that sort of reframes it, but not in a way that makes it any easier for me.
This is, I think, the hardest throb. One. For 1 point, I'll add... No, that'd make it too easy.
Oh, okay, it rhymes with schmoody schmink.
80s famous, heartthrob. He's kind of a supporting actor now.
Stanley Tucci.
Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe. He was in, he was in Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that was going to be the clue that I thought would be too easy. Like, 80s and Parks and Rec would have been, I mean, like, who else would it be?
He's also, like, we're of that age where, like, we didn't know that Robert Downey Jr., like, that being Iron Man was his comeback from, like, some really dark shit or whatever. Rob Lowe also had weird shit going on before we were ever, like, cognizant of pop culture, right?
Was it weird shit? I don't know. I didn't get to that,
like,
part of the Wikipedia
scandal,
article.
Some kind of, like, deep thing? Yeah, I don't know. Not deep thing. What was I going to say? Some kind of rock bottom. I don't know.
I used to be a bartender in Brooklyn, and one night, this 2000s, late 2000s and early 2010s teenage heartthrob came in with a group of friends. I treated him like anyone else at the bar and purposefully didn't draw attention to him. He was appreciative and very polite, also a great tipper, leaving 100% of the total.
Damn. Late 2000s, early 2010s heartthrob? Jesse McCartney.
Nope. I'll put in a parenthetical I took out. This was at the peak of blank madness.
Oh, March Madness. Who would have been out in March? Reefer Madness? Was it Wiz Khalifa? No. Hold on. Okay, blank madness. Oh, what is that? Is it just Justin Tim? No. I don't think they had anything called Matt. Early 2010s?
Late 2000s, early 2010s.
Justin Bieber.
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson? Why did I think it was a singer? Why did I thought? Oh, okay. I don't know why. Maybe I heard heartthrob and immediately thought pop singer.
You know, maybe that was a bit misleading of me.
Now, see, I could see him being a good tipper. He seems like a cool dude.
For 2 points, around 2007, this Canadian leading man's early days, he was in my hometown and stopped by the pizza place with some others. He came in towards closing time, but rounded up a $55 check to $100 and took pics with everyone there who wanted one.
Okay, that's Jim Carrey, who's Canadian.
Okay, no, for 1 point. This Canadian leading man, who a lot of straight guys say, I'm not gay, but I would be for him.
Oh. I don't think Mitch McConnell's Canadian.
Mitch McConnell?
If I were going to be gay, it would be gay for him.
Yeah, I don't think they let you in the Senate if you're Canadian, so can't be him.
It's probably Gosling or Reynolds, right? Which one of them's Canadian? Is it Gosling?
Ding, ding, ding. There you go. You'll get 1 point for that one.
There you go.
Ryan Gosling.
Nice. He seems like a good tipper.
I work in a private estate management in Beverly Hills. I know all of the big A-listers, but the classiest, nicest person of all is this feminist icon. She would stay at my boss's home on extended holidays and is sweet, polite, and genuine. You can call her blank, not Miss Blank. After her stay, she leaves money for the staff as a thank you for us going above and beyond.
For a feminist icon?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Rosie the Riveter?
For 2 points, Adrian, no, come on. You got to take this game seriously. I want to feel like you want it.
I'm just kidding. Okay. Feminist icon, but it doesn't say that she's an actor or anything. It just says that she vacations at this home.
She's just a feminist icon. I mean, she's famous as a feminist icon, but she's not. She hasn't pivoted into an acting career.
Marilyn Monroe's too old. I don't know, right? Other than a review from back then. I'm going to say Oprah.
Nope.
You said
for
Oprah.
1 point, feminist icon and confirmed CIA anti-communist asset.
Hillary Clinton?
Gloria Steinem.
Gloria Steinem? I didn't know that. When you said feminist icon, I actually thought Gloria Steinem, but I was like, I don't think she's going to be in a list like this. That's crazy. Good tipper, though. That's good.
Good tipper. And confirmed CIA asset. This one is just blank for 2 points. I waited on this nice Midwestern guy in a small cafe in our college town in 2018. He offered me an autograph and I blew him off, not caring he was the governor of another state.
Nice Midwestern guy who's a governor of a state at a university cafe. Is there a timeline on this? Yep. Is there a date?
I waited on this nice Midwestern guy in a small cafe in our college town in 2018. He offered me an autograph and I blew him off, not caring he was the governor of another state.
2018 governor of a Midwestern state. Is it Pete? Wait, no. That was Mayor Pete. Now, it's not that I consider the middle of the country flyover country. It's not that I'm some kind of coastal elitist.
Well, I'll
go
ahead and tell you, I don't know what state he was governor of. I think it was Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Oh, is that my hint for 1 point?
No. That's just part of me giving you a little extra tip for your 2 points.
Oh, okay. I really don't know. You're going to have to give me the actual hint.
Nice Midwestern guy with vice presidential aspirations.
Oh, in 2018 with vice presidential aspirations.
Well, in 2018, he was unknown, so it wasn't necessarily the 2020 vice presidential aspirations. I feel like
so
I'm really narrowing
down. Is that
the
what you're saying?
What?
Were you saying it's J.D. Vance?
A few things.
Is it Tim Walz?
J.D. Vance. Yes, it's Tim Walz.
Okay, obviously. I don't know why. At a certain point, I thought the trick was that it was a Republican, not a Democrat. And then I was like, oh, yeah, Tim Walz.
The trick? I'm not. Why do you think I'm doing tricks? Why do you think that's a part of this?
Because you're a slippery man. You're a slippery charlatan of a man.
I will tell you, at no point while writing this quiz was I thinking, ooh, what a trick.
Okay, I feel like you're thinking that a lot and rubbing your hands together.
Okay, a lot of people are mentioned in this list. I'm only blanking out one name, so there's a lot of celebrities here. I worked at the third Starbucks to open in NYC in Greenwich Village. I served everyone from Brad Pitt and this leading lady. Yeah, they were a thing. To Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman, to the Beastie Boys, they were all amazing people and very, very good tippers. I mean, if their venti skim extra hot extra caramel with a touch of chocolate double cupped caramel macchiato latte with whip cost them $9 in 1997, that's 1866 as of today. This leading lady once left a $100 bill in the tip jar. Genuinely classy people. I'll help you parse that. Somebody who was dating Brad Pitt, but the parenthetical is, yeah, they were a thing, so it's not somebody you'd necessarily associate as one of his big relationships.
A leading lady. Who did Brad Pitt dated Angelina Jolie famously? Dated Jennifer Aniston famously?
Yeah. Those were the two I would consider the famous relationships.
Was it... Who were the big leading ladies in Hollywood? M. Night Shyamalan's daughter. Let's see.
I will say this one might be tough. If you want to just give it a guess to go to the one pointer.
Anne Hathaway.
This leading lady / lifestyle guru.
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow.
There you go, one point.
I didn't know they dated. She was great in Marty Supreme. She seems like she'd be a bad tipper. She does seem like a big Starbucks person, though. That actually kind of fits now that I think
about that. In 97, that makes sense. But hey, she left a $100 bill on a $9 order, so you were wrong. She's a good tipper.
Once.
Oh, you're right.
Now she just leaves a jade egg.
She was probably like, hey, are you going to write into BuzzFeed in like 15 years? Okay, I'll leave a $100 bill. I had a friend who waited on this Latina singer right after she got super famous. She and her entourage allegedly ran my friend ragged, insulted him, held up the table for 3 hours, and completely stiffed him on a tip. He was a great server, and she was a nightmare.
Wow, I don't like how the first time a Latina is mentioned, it's about her being terrible, but I assume it's Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, okay, 2 points.
Yeah. She's Jenny from the Block. That's how you do it.
The second part of the clue was who pivoted to a successful rom-com leading woman. My coworkers served this funny man rocker, and I helped run the food to the table. He tipped $300.
Funny man rocker?
Yeah.
Okay. What does that mean? Oh, it's Weird Al Yankovic?
It is not. This funny man school of rocker, and I helped run the food to the table. He tipped $300 on a tab of around $500. He was also very nice to everyone, said goodnight to me on the way out.
This is one of those things where it was used in a Comedy Bang Bang bit where at first really, like, I had to kind of, like, face this as, like, a descriptor. Calling someone funny man is such a cool thing to call somebody. It makes me laugh every time to be like, this Hollywood funny man. But yeah, you're talking about Jack Black.
1 point.
Okay, nice.
I worked at a Chart House restaurant, and this famously well-paid child star...
I thought it was going to be another feminist icon. I was going to be like, I swear to God.
...ordered lobster and a drink. He left $1 on a $70 check. I had been a fine dining server for 30 years. Cheap, cheap, cheap.
What was the descriptor again?
Famously well-paid child star.
Oh, it's got... I don't want to think badly about Macaulay Culkin, but you didn't say... No, it said he, right?
Famously well-paid child star who went publicly bankrupt and passed in the 2010s.
That's the kind of celebrity news I don't really keep up with.
Black famously well-paid child star who went publicly bankrupt and passed in the 2010s.
Oh, what are you talking about, Willis? Is that... Oh, is that him?
Yeah, but what's his name?
Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
1 point.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, nice. Just threw some names together.
I worked at a very nice upscale but also casual restaurant. Many celebrities and noteworthy folks came in there over the years. One memorable table was this boy band star gone solo and his actress wife and some friends. He was fine, a little aloof, mostly not very interactive, which was totally fine, actually. But she was a total sweetheart, super nice, friendly, and appreciative. And she was totally stunning. She made a great impression.
Did Justin Timberlake ever date an actress? Otherwise, who else was in a boy band and went single?
By the way, this one is just for if you get both versus one or the other. For the points.
Who did he date? So, boy band person who went solo?
Yep.
And did we get a year?
No.
So it could be one of the guys from... Oh, it could be one of the guys. Oh, is it Harry Styles and Florence Pugh?
It is not. It was Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel.
So it was Justin Timberlake. Fuck. Okay. I didn't get a second to grab at that one. Damn.
This famous for being famous type celeb came to my job, ordered mad shit, and didn't even tip a penny. Laughy face emoji, clown face emoji.
Who's this person from the UK working there? They got mad shit. That's got to be Kardashian.
Not taking away from your 2 points yet, I'll say not a Kardashian, not a Hilton.
Oh, famous for doing nothing?
Famous for being famous type celeb. Came to my job, famous ordered mad shit, didn't even tip a penny. Laughy face emoji, clown face emoji. And I'll even give you another hint because I think without... This is still for 2 points, more recent than the Kardashians.
Oh, ooh. Is it the Cash Me Outside girl?
It is not.
Do I have to know her real name?
Is that an official guess?
Okay. That's an official guess. Okay.
And the second part, this famous for being famous type celeb, an Erewhon smoothie creator.
Is that one of the TikTok? Oh, it's not Addison Rae. It's the D'Amelio. Is it Charli D'Amelio?
Hailey Bieber.
Hailey Bieber. Doesn't she do something? She does stuff.
Does she?
I don't know. Does she?
I think she's just kind of, I mean, maybe
she's just like, a model. That's work.
I don't want to like dismiss her contributions, but I feel like most people just kind of know her for knowing her.
Oh, okay.
You say maybe so. I'm wrong about that. Leave a comment, folks. I was a housekeeper at a large hotel adjacent to the Greater Pittsburgh Airport in 1977. This mob movie icon stayed at that hotel while filming scenes for The Deer Hunter. I cleaned his room a few times, not knowing who occupied it. I remember it being very muddy. One day I was opening the door to leave and he walked in and said, hi. I almost fell on the floor. Very nice gentleman. He tipped very well also. So which mob movie icon do you think would leave a room muddy?
Leave a room muddy.
And be in The Deer Hunter, if you know that movie. I didn't, so I felt like it was safe to keep in.
I know The Deer Hunter. I just don't know mob movies, so that's the reverse for me.
So if you know an actor from The Deer Hunter who would famously be in mob movies.
And would make things muddy because he's watery. Al Pacino.
No, I'll give you one more guess for 1 point.
That's my hint? I get one more guess?
Yeah, I don't have a second.
For mob movies.
This taxi driver.
Oh, I know that guy. I watched that movie earlier this year, last year. That's Robert De Niro.
Okay, 1 point.
Which is honestly who I should have guessed in the first place, but okay. So wait, that was a story about him being a good tipper or a bad tipper?
Honestly, they didn't really leave either. It was just that they were...
It was just that he makes things muddy.
Oh, wait, the last sentence was, he tipped very well also.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Okay. This comedian tipped me fat the other day. You know what? I'll give you a little Gabriel more for Iglesias. The 2 points. This comedian gone comedic rapper tipped me fat the other day. $300 on an $80 bill for 2 points. Comedian gone comedic rapper.
Comedian gone comedic rapper.
Not gone
rapper.
Permanently. Comedian dabbles in comedic rap.
Okay, so it's not Childish Gambino. Oh, comedian who does a little bit of comedy rap. This is where I just don't know the comedy
$300
scene
on an $80 bill might be a little bit of a clue, too. They're doing really
Kevin Hart.
Well. Kevin Hart.
Little chocolate drop.
Two
okay,
points.
Yeah.
The second part of the clue would have been comedian gone comedic rapper gone movie star gone award show host gone adulterer.
Whoa. Okay. Really sensationalizing now.
I've run and bartended several events hosted by this rapper slash mogul, and he's always been super lovely, humble, and a great tipper.
I mean, a mogul, it's either 50 Cent or Jay-Z. Yeah, let's go Jay-Z.
For 1 point, I've run and bartended several events hosted by this rapper slash mogul slash internet troll, and he's always been super lovely, humble, and a great tipper.
Wait, did you add anything new?
Rapper slash mogul slash internet troll.
Oh, slash internet troll. Okay, sorry. For some reason, I was like, humble. Is it supposed to be Kendrick Lamar? slash internet troll who's a mogul. Is it supposed to be Kanye?
Adrian, I'm going to give you one more shot. You'd already filtered it down to two people. You guessed one of them, and I've added internet troll.
Is 50 Cent an internet troll?
Yeah, he's always trolling people he's beefing with. That's his famous thing on Instagram.
Oh, I would distinguish that from being an internet troll, but okay. That actually took me further away.
All right, well, maybe that's on me as the question asker, so I'll give you back a point. In the early 2000s, I worked at a fine dining restaurant.
Early 2000s, okay. Fine dining.
In the Coliseum Forum shops in Las Vegas and the Strip. This rapper and personal finance know-it-all and his entourage came in and took up my whole section. Everything went fine. They didn't return anything. They weren't overly friendly, but it was fine. We did not put the automatic gratuity for parties of eight or more on there because he was a celebrity. The bill was around $5,000 and he left absolutely no tip, not a single penny. My poor manager felt so bad for me that he gave me a 20% tip on the total bill out of the kitty.
Out of the kitty?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I've heard it before, like out of the till, you know.
Oh, okay. So it's a rapper and personal finance advisor?
Personal finance know-it-all.
Personal finance know-it-all. Oh, who's always talking about finance?
Investment advice, general sort of like, I mean, not always. It's kind of a late career transition.
Now, I normally go to rappers for my financial advice. So I'm just trying to think of who normally pops up when I type in money advice rapper.
You know, like maybe you buy a painting for $5 million, 10 years later it's worth $15 million, something like that is in the lyrics.
I've been meaning to do that. So yeah, that's Jay-Z, right?
That's Jay-Z. 2 points.
Okay, yeah. Okay, cool.
The second part of the clue was an suspected Illuminati member. This TV comedy creator and star left me a $230 tip on a $330 bill, so he can do no wrong in my eyes.
TV creator and star. That's got to be one Jerome Seinfeld.
This TV comedy creator and star made a movie pivot and never looked back, unless he was checking his six on a Segway.
Oh, it was Zachary Braff.
It was Kevin James. That was a Paul Blart Mall Cop. But that was a Paul Blart Mall Cop reference.
Damn it. On a Segway, I was thinking moped from Garden State. Okay, never mind. That was my bad.
And checking his sex, kind of cop language, you know? I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. I don't know if that's a joke from
the
movie.
That's a big part of the mall cop, yeah.
I waited on this TV host and podcast megastar about 10 years ago. He was quiet, polite,
Joe Rogan.
And very low maintenance. He left a $100 tip on a $30 tap. Joe Rogan. I was going to add political kingmaker, UFC announcer, and ivermectin truther.
I don't think he's an announcer. He's a commentator. I am surprised. He really is in there. He does all of the post-ring interviews. I was watching the UFC fight yesterday because Phil was watching it, and he's a big part of it.
I waited on this 2000s pop rocker and her pop punk star husband when they were dating. They came in with five other people for drinks and some apps. The bill was around $500, and she paid and tipped me $200. Plus, she, blank, and their friends were all so friendly and down to earth. Before she left and after she paid, I let her know that I was a big fan of her music. She was very happy to hear it, thanked me, and gave me a big hug.
So it's a pop rocker with a pop punker.
And I will say they are divorced now, when this question was, or when this was sent in, they were dating, they got married, now divorced.
Oh, wow. Huh. Pop rocker, pop punker. I want to say probably someone from Blink, but...
I wonder if you'd even know the guy's name. So, you know what? I'll make it easier and go ahead and give you Fallout Boys. You're still on the two points.
Oh, Patrick Stump. Patrick... No, not Patrick Stump. He's the lead singer. Pete Wentz and Jessica Simpson.
I'm going to have to knock it down to 1 point.
What? Pete Wentz? What?
You got Pete Wentz right.
And he was married to Jessica Sims. Ashley Simpson?
There you go.
The sister. Yeah, I knew it was... Okay, all right. I'll take the 1 point on that one. I couldn't remember which one was the not or the less famous one. I couldn't remember which one was the one that messed up on SNL.
This tatted country rap pop star is notoriously very generous. I know him on a personal level now, but he used to frequent the Rainbow and tip the patio server on each round, frequently $700, several hundred dollars.
Tatted pop rapper?
Country slash rap slash pop star.
Is that Jelly Roll?
Is that your final guess?
I mean, I wanted to say Post Malone until you kind of hit the country harder, but that's got to be Jelly Roll, right?
This tatted country slash rap slash pop star who is inexplicably considered a heartthrob and shameless Bud Light shill.
Oh, so it is Post Malone.
It was Post Malone.
Damn. Yeah, that's one where people do seem to like him. I don't know what to tell you. He seems very affable in real life. I think he's just a normal-ass dude.
This nerdy comedic teenage supporting actor took me to a local bar grill with a bunch of cast and crew from Tulsa King. I was working on the show. We ordered a lot of food and drinks, and blank picked up the tab, which was about $2,500. However, the card didn't go through due to fraud reasons. Nevertheless, he picked up the phone, verified it was him with the bank, and then paid the bill. He left a 30% or higher tip for the server who helped us. He actually asked me to add it up as he couldn't quite read the receipt. He was also super sweet and nice, and he often ordered ice cream trucks and stuff to come to the studio for all the crew to eat on him.
To eat on him? That's crazy.
I will say 30% isn't that generous. The fact that he had to make it public by being like, oh, you figure it out. You got to know how much of a tip I'm leaving almost makes it seem like a bit.
Okay. And that's you doing an impression of this guy. So now I know a little bit more about him.
Yeah, maybe this one's a little bit harder.
You didn't really focus on all the useful information. You babbled on at the end. But I feel like the useful information was teenage supporting comedic actor nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Did I babble on? I was just reading the story.
Yeah. But like as you were going, I was like, none of this is helping me. I just need to focus on what you said at the beginning.
But you don't know who's in Tulsa King.
Is he still a teenager?
Okay, I'll give you the second part of the clue. This one's harder, so we'll go straight for the 2 points with the full clue. Who has grown into a lanky and hilarious adult supporting actor?
He's not the guy with... Is he that guy with Marfan syndrome? Or maybe not. Okay, lanky... adult comedic actor. Michael Cera is not very lanky. I think his bank knows he's like putting money down like that. Who's McLovin? Is he lanky? None of them are like lanky Kongs. I think the guy with Marfan syndrome is in Tulsa King. I don't know his name though.
What's Marfan syndrome? I don't know though.
It's like the thing that like they think that Lincoln had where you're like very tall but also like you're kind of messed up in certain ways.
I'll give it to you if this actor has Marfan syndrome.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, it's Martin Starr.
Oh, no, that's not who I was thinking of. You should have said that freaky and geeky supporting actor. Now he's a fucking, what is he? He's selling candy now.
This one's also a long shot, so you got one chance to get 2 points. I've waited on multiple celebrities in Park City during the Sundance Film Festival. Most of them were very nice and tipped generously. My big tip percentage-wise came from this leading funny man who has done it all from TV and film. He and his family were kind and down to earth and were a pleasure to serve.
A leading funny man who's done it all from TV to film. Steve Martin. Has he done TV?
Okay, for 1 point, first name was right.
Oh. So Steve Carell.
Alrighty. You got it.
That is someone who's definitely more both worlds.
My coworker served this Atlanta rapper with a family-friendly vibe once, and he was apparently fine until the end, where he asked the server if the restaurant was going to take care of the bill for him. They only agreed to because he said he tipped the server. Pretty fool of himself. And I'll edit that to Atlanta rapper with a sort of family-friendly vibe. It's not like, I don't know, he's not a super cuddly teddy bear, but you can pitch him for a big budget movie. You know what I mean? Like
a Fast and Furious?
Oh boy.
Is Ludacris from Atlanta? I don't think. Is Ludacris from Atlanta? Is it Ludacris?
It is Ludacris.
Hell yeah.
The second part of the crew.
You know, that's the thing, though, is anytime he's behaving weirdly, he can always be like, I guess I'm just a little ludicrous.
The second part of the clue was, I guess he was more rude and greedy instead of fast or furious.
Nice.
All right, and that's the final if you want to tally up your answers.
Now, what was considered a good score?
35.
All right, I got 22.
Maybe it was harder than I thought.
So we got to get a couple bonus points in there. Paul, name a celebrity who tipped you, and I'll give me some clues, and I'll try and figure it out. That was a fun quiz.
All right, good.
It was
good.
Difficult, though.
Yeah, I guess because I knew the answers ahead of time. That's the problem with making a quiz.
Yeah, it does make it easier. Cool. You got a big fact, no cap?
Yeah, big fact. When it comes to tipping, we really should find a way to just get rid of it. It really has warped a lot of our brains. We talk about it so much more than it's worth. We put so much more effort into thinking about it than it's worth. Like, could we just not find a way to pay them well and we could all stop thinking and talking about this?
And my no cap is you should do that thing if you're a service worker where you have two tip jars and you try and make people vote for something that they care about, like Tupac and Biggie. That way you get more tips because people care about stupid bullshit like that.
That is true. That does seem to always work, huh?
It works on me. I'm always like, oh, I'm not letting Biggie win this one. West Side.